Mind the Music Biz, a Raised Rowdy podcast hosted by Peyton Heben.
Guys, welcome back to another episode of Behind the Music Biz, a Raised Rowdy podcast. I'm your host, Peyton Heben. This is episode 22 with the creative coordinator at Tape Room Music, Luke Collins.
What up, dude? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, bro.
Sorry to drag you all the way down to Old Hickory Hermitage.
Nah, dude.
After good. A work day.
You're good.
Appreciate you doing it, though.
Yeah, bro.
Good. So, yeah, how have you been? You're pretty new to the industry, right?
Yeah,
to,
dude. Well,
publishing world.
Yeah, publishing world. I was on the road for like a little over a year and then got into publishing while I was on the road, just subconsciously, and then got the gig at Tape Room. It's been good, dude. It's like a little over 2 months, but we're rocking and rolling, so we're doing good.
So you mentioned being on the road. Kind of what was your start in the industry?
Yeah,
on the road.
So I started like slinging merch and tour managing.
Who was that with?
I was with a bunch of artists. So I kind of grew up around the whole Nashville scene and around artists and buddies like Connor Smith and Jonathan Hutcherson. And they like really took me under their wing and brought me on the road with them. And I went to college for 2 years and wanted to get out of there about 2 years in. And it was great. But yeah, Connor and Jonathan kind of looked at me while I was in college one time and were like, dude, you can do this if you want to. Like, you can get into it if you really want to. Like, just move back to Nashville. And they really supported me and got on the road with them beginning of 2023 and then did the TM thing for Hutch, merch thing for Connor, and then went out on the road as TM / everything for Peyton Smith. And so, yeah, it was a good time. On the road, I learned a lot, how to not do it, how to do it, but yeah, it was a good time. So
you you're from the Nashville area, right?
Yeah, I'm from Franklin, just south of Nashville.
What was that like growing up?
It was cool, dude.
The music scene.
Yeah, it was like I was around country music subconsciously, kind of growing up, and it was kind of everything that I knew growing up. Just being in Nashville, I wasn't like a major country music like super fan, but I grew up around it. It's what I grew up listening to that my parents had on the radio, and then went to school in middle school and high school with some of my buddies, and they were doing the country music thing kind of at a younger level, whether it was writing songs or making their own music or whatever it was. Country music was just kind of, I mean, it is Nashville, so I just kind of grew up around it, which, you know, ultimately led me into where I am now. So I'm thankful to grow up around it. So yeah,
you don't find a lot of people from here anymore.
Yeah, I know. People call me a unicorn.
Yeah.
Every time I say I'm from Nashville, like, oh, you're a unicorn. Yeah. I never heard that.
Because I know, like, obviously you have, like, Jelly Roll.
Yep.
And Mitchell Tenpenny.
Yeah. Connor. Lauren Watkins is from Nashville.
Oh, really?
Ernest is from Nashville. So, yeah, very few. But, you know, it was cool growing up around it and being in the scene. So.
And you said you went to college for 2 years. Did you go to a school in Nashville?
Yeah, no, I went to Chattanooga in UTC in Chattanooga. It was good, dude. I loved it. Like, I had no idea I wanted to be in country music out of high school. It was something that was kind of in the back of my mind, but never, like, saw myself at any type of position. And it was interesting. Like, Connor signed his record deal out of high school, and I was like, oh, that's cool, I don't know what that is, but, you know, congrats. And he was just a buddy. And then I went to college, we were buddies all through college, and then I kind of saw the world that he was in and everything, because there's so many moving parts. I kind of saw that world, and that turned into me kind of figuring out, like, okay, there's so much more behind this than what people see, you know, on your phone or on screen or at a 100%. concert. And I kind of fell in love with that and learned that subconsciously just being in Nashville, first of all, but also being around some of my buddies that were doing it, which was really interesting. So I went for 2 years, and it was great, and I loved it. But then I kind of started going wherever my buddies were on the road, you know, visit them at concerts or coming back home and hanging with them. And that's when they kind of looked at me and were like, you can do this if you want to do it. And I didn't know if I had to finish college or not. I remember my first meeting, I sat down, Connor linked me up with a publisher for just like a hang. And I sat down and I was like, dude, do I have to go to college? And like, he was like, no, you don't have to, but like you can if you want to. And there's no right. That's what I love about the industry. There's no right avenue. You can kind of go wherever you want and do things how you want to do it and build it the way you want to build it, which I think is what everyone does in their own way, which makes it unique. So as soon as I started getting on the road and touring and getting into that scene, I was like, okay, I'm not going back to college.
Yeah. What was your major when you went?
Business.
Oh, okay.
Classic.
Yeah.
But
I mean, like, it's good to fall back on, but you're right. Like, being here in Nashville, I mean, growing up, it was like I had to go to college. If I told my parents that I wanted to do something in music, like move to Nashville, they would have been like,
Yeah.
No shot.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing, dude. I was not opposed to going back to school. Like, Belmont was not in the picture for me, but, like, MTSU, like, I would have gone to MTSU and done whatever. And I think people who do take that route do great and learn so much that probably I'm still learning. But I think there's something about the industry when it comes to learning how to do it. You learn first that, like, there's no right way to do it.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you build it kind of how you want to. And you learn the ins and outs of the industry from just doing it. So I was really thrown into the fire on the road because I had, you know, no business being out there.
Well, that's what I was going to say was, like, advice I've been given. Like, I think we talked about this before, was, like, I'm not someone that's made for the road. Like,
yeah.
I'm a homebody. I don't really like to be traveling all the time and gone, living out of a suitcase.
Yeah, dude.
But, like, people tell me all the time, like, if I ever ask somebody for advice, like, what's your best advice for me, like, starting out, trying to get to know people, trying to figure out the business? It's like, go on the road.
Dude,
go on the road while you're young. Yeah. You'll learn a lot.
That's so true, dude. I get those questions now from people who, like, my buddies who want to work in the industry. I'm like, dude, go on the road and sell merch.
Yeah.
That's what I tell them. Because you look at, like, Blaine Rhodes, who's president of Tape Room now. He was selling merch for Luke. When Cole Swindell used to sell merch for Luke Bryan, mm-hmm. before he was an artist, Cole left to do the artist thing, and Blaine Rhodes was on the road with Luke selling merch. Now he's head of Tape Room. So it's just like, I learned so much being on the road, whether it was, you know, how to run merch and sell merch, how to manage a tour as a TM, or I learned so much as, like, in publishing world, okay, what songs are they singing back to? Which ones are they getting most rowdy for? Yeah. Which song, you know, sounds most like the radio? Which one doesn't, you know? And then we would kind of gauge that as a crew of, like, okay, what are we playing next set? What are we not playing next set? So, dude, it was a lot of fun. Like, I tell people all the time what you said, like, go on the road. You're going to learn, I don't want to say more than you would at Belmont or MTSU, because those are, like, great avenues, but you're going to learn a lot on the road. And it's going to be really, really beneficial down the road.
Belmont and MTSU and all those schools that you can go to for, like, music business, even if you go to, like, UGA for just general business or whatever,
yeah,
like, you can get a really good education and they can teach you a lot. Like, Belmont Music Business could teach you a lot about the music business.
Right.
But, like, if you want to be a tour manager or something, like, nothing's going to teach you, like, if something goes wrong in a show, Belmont textbook can't teach you that.
Yeah.
Actually, some shit going wrong in the show.
Right.
And having to fix it immediately and just being thrown in the fire. That's what's going to teach you.
Yeah. That's what I love about it, too, is, like, the good thing about those schools, too, is they are so supportive of people doing that. Because I feel like they know that. They're going to help you as much as they can, and they do a great job of that. But, like, they also want you to get out and get an internship, yeah, and get on the road and all that kind of stuff, because it's where you learn the nitty-gritty stuff of, yeah, everything.
When I went to I went to Florida Gulf Coast, and, like, it was kind of we have a similar story in the sense of, like, I didn't know I wanted to do music, but I loved just, like, country music.
Yeah.
So when I graduated high school in 2018, I went to Georgia Southern, and, like, obviously, like, Cole Swindell, Luke Bryan, like all those guys. But when I was there, it was like Brian Fuller, Dylan Marlowe, Trey Landon.
Yeah.
So I got to see all that. And then I saw on social media this guy named Hayden Kaufman, who I became buddies with.
Mm-hmm.
And I had learned by like his organic growth that it was just that there was so much more to it than what most people saw like in the on social media. It's like I kind of fell in love with that process and I got to know the manager and it just became like this passion for like behind the scenes of the music business.
Yeah.
And I transferred to Florida Gulf Coast and was in-person classes for a while. And eventually I told my teachers, I was like, I have to be in Nashville.
Yeah.
Like, I can't learn anything here. Like, I have to be. So they, because it was an entrepreneurial major.
Yeah.
They were like, go do it. They're like, you're only going to learn by being there and being in it. Like, there's nothing you can learn here in the classroom.
Yeah, dude. I think kind of what you said about the road, like being built for the road or not. There are people who are built for the road. Like, they're out there 50, 60 years old, still crushing it. And I think it's similar in the way that people can be built for college and learning that way. And like one of my buddies who I owe a lot to, his name's Jake Kinney. And he is like, now he's managing Connor Smith, but he's still at UGA. Like doing, and he was tour managing Connor, doing all these things. He's at Warner Records. Like he's doing all these things and he's still doing college.
It's crazy.
I know. And I don't know how he's doing it, but he's wired in the way that he can do that. So I was like, in college, and I was like, dude, I'm just not wired to learn this way. And you don't have to be in the industry. That's what I love about it. But yeah, there's people in the industry is what I've learned that like, for me, if I sat in a class for 4 years or however long, I wouldn't have learned as much as I'll learn in the next 4 years.
Right.
Where I am now. Yeah. So it's like, and that's what I tell everyone who's like, okay, what should I do? What should I do? It's like, okay, well, you can go to school, but like also if you don't learn that way, go do something else, you know, get on the road, sell merch, and just do it. Like, that's what I love about the industry is you can do it the way that like fits you and everyone's unique. And like the industry is one big community. There's so many moving parts. I didn't know that when I first got into it, but like you go on the road, you're meeting the artist's manager who's going to come out to some shows. You're probably gonna meet their publisher. Like if they play a show in Nashville or something, everyone's going to be there. Like you're meeting their family. You're meeting, you know, the people they write with are going to come out and write with them. Booking agents. Like that's what I learned on the road is not only did I meet those people, which, you know, ultimately I think led me to where I am now, but you learn how many moving parts are there. And then once you get on the road and you meet all those people and what they do and like where they are, you learn what you want to do.
100%.
Because it's like I didn't know I wanted to do publishing. Right when I didn't know what I wanted to do when I got back to Nashville. I toyed a little bit with like management, found out that wasn't for me. And then I learned so much about publishing, like I said earlier, like hearing the songs at work or like hearing the ones that they're singing back to. And like all the artists I was with would, you know, send me demos, be like, hey, what do you think of this? And then I started to piece together who they're writing with. What songs are, of theirs are getting pitched or what songs are getting pitched to them? Who's writing those songs, you know? So I think as far as publishing goes, like you can learn, if you want to get into publishing, you can learn so much just going on the road. Like don't think just because you're going on the road, like you can't do whatever, because it can lead like everywhere. But yeah, I was super thankful to be on the road for the time that I was. But like you said, like you're not built for it. Like I was built for it only for about a year. And then I was like, okay, I want to do publishing.
But that's all you needed. Yeah. Like I know people and I've had them on this podcast, like, Churro. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him at all,
but yeah,
he was assistant tour manager for Morgan Wallen on the Dangerous tour.
Oh, sick.
But before that he had tour managed like, Tyler Rich and I think Matt Stell.
Yeah.
So he had been on some pretty decent tours. And then of course, like the Morgan Wallen Dangerous tour was enormous.
Yeah. Massive.
And then he got married and bought a house in Nashville and it was just like time. It was just time to come off the road and do something else. For and then sure. He went managing, under Mandolin with like Lanny Wilson and them.
Sick.
At Red Light. But it was just like everybody, if you do it for a little bit, like I think everyone has a shelf life for it.
Right. But
like you said, there's still 50 and 60 year olds that are still doing it. Like that's just their thing. Like they don't want to be anywhere else. I've had Bo Griego who
I love Bo.
Dude.
He's the man.
He like, he was telling me how little he's been home. He's been home like twice in the past however many months. That's crazy.
I know, dude. There's something I love about Corey's, because he's talking, if you don't know, he's talking about Corey Kent's tour manager. Their camp, dude, like we were out on the road with them with Hutch, and dude, there you can tell that their camp is like 100% country music.
Yeah.
Because none of them are in Nashville. Like, I feel like they don't have anything to prove. You know, like they're either in Oklahoma or Texas. Like, I think Bo's in Texas.
Yeah.
And I know Corey's in Texas. So, like, they are literally out there just because they want to be out there, you know? And like, Bo's playing football, you know? Like, he had it all out for him, and he was like, dude, like, apparently he, like, met Corey and went out with him one time and was, like, his security or something, which was awesome. But, like, that's what, like, those kind of people, like, Bo and Corey, like, when I talked to Corey, he's like, we played at a honky-tonk with him in Missouri, and we were walking in the venue, and he was like, dude, these are what we live for, like, these type of shows. And I feel like people on the road who have that fire in them to go and play shows, they're built for it. And it's like, I love live music and I love, you know, country music in a live setting, but like, I love publishing more. And mm-hmm. I'm glad I found that out in a year, because some people don't. But yeah, no, dude, it's a squad.
Yeah, there. Dude, I love, like, I had Bo on this podcast a few episodes ago when they were in town for, I think it was like the radio, CRS. They were in town for CRS.
Oh, yeah, it was craziness.
But because Corey was playing Megan Maroney at the New Faces night or whatever, but it's just like their squad, it's so tight knit. Like their operation is tight.
Yeah,
like I would love to have an operation that was that tight.
I know.
If I was touring,
and I'm thankful for the time I was on the road too, because I mean Connor Smith, I owe a lot to Connor Smith. I'm gonna shout him out before I say this, but I owe a lot to him. He's a good guy and. Just a man, really, you know, loves his wife, loves his family, and loves the Lord. And I owe a lot to him, but his camp on the road, he's so careful about, you know, the kind of camp that he builds. Cause dude, when you're on the road, like I learned this very fast, like you're around each other 24/7. Like it's like living with, you know, seven roommates, except, you know, you're either in a van or a tour bus. So it's like even closer than that. But I noticed that about Corey's camp is they're so tight and like they're all just buddies who are just on the road together and they have so much fun. And that was the vibe I had with the people I was with. You know, like one of my best friends, Jonathan Hutcherson, who we are literally like, you know, Batman and Robin. Like we are side by side on the road. And that leads into anything in the industry too. With being a tour manager, you're basically their day to day as well. Mm-hmm. You know, at a certain level, when they're coming up, like you're doing stuff for them every day, and there's nothing that beats the bond of being on the road together. Like you're just in it, whether you're in a van or you're in a bus. You're up till 2 a.m. You're doing this, you're doing that. So I'm really thankful for the people that I was with and the guys that, you know, God surrounded me with on the road, because. You know, when you're with those people, like you're with those people,
yeah.
And you better like each other or figure it out.
That's what he was saying. Because I mean, like, he was telling me that like, there's no one in the camp that's like a loose cannon. Because like bands, I mean, it's music, like it's country music. Like you'll have some loose cannons, people for that are like getting hammered after shows, or that are just like liabilities, or that are like a mess, that are just leaving trash everywhere in the bus.
Yeah,
but like they're. Not like that at all.
Yeah,
it's like no one's drinking,
right?
Unless it's like maybe after a show.
Yeah, yeah, dude. That's how I was with Jonathan Hutcherson, and because we were in a van or we were in a bus. We like bought this church bus and like built it out, which was so much fun. But that's how his crew was. Like not crazy. We're just out there because we love country music, and like that's where the Lord has us, and. It's the same thing. And that's why I think that's why our crew and Corey's crew bonded so much, is because we all just got to hang and like no one was going crazy. And we were just out there hanging, playing 2K on the bus, like just having a good time. But yeah, dude, that a well-cultured crew on the road is essential. because if it's not, then as a tour manager, as a merch manager, anyone not in the band, you're playing babysitter the whole time.
Yeah.
And I've never had to be that for a crew, so I'm very thankful for that. And Corey's crew is the same way. But
yeah, they're good people. But yeah, so what was it specifically? Like you mentioned, you kind of just were around the publishing side and you fell in love with it. But what was it specifically that made you fall in love with the publishing side of music?
Yeah, dude. So I kind of had in my mind, when I came back to Nashville, I knew what publishing was. I knew the idea of songwriters and pub deals and all that, because Connor went through that in high school. I think he signed his first pub deal when he was like 15. But dude, I went on the road, and when you're on the road, you're around these artists and around songwriters that are out there. And then you're in Nashville too, and it's like, it's the backbone of Nashville is songwriting. So dude, I just developed a love for songwriting and demos. And like, I was figuring out who Connor was writing with, who Jonathan was writing with. I knew all the people over at their pub companies, like Peyton Smith, who he was writing with. I got really close with the guys over at Combustion, who are awesome. But yeah, and then you fall in love with the process of a song. I think the coolest thing about publishing and being a part of it is you get to see the very beginning of something that could lead to be so big. And I got to see that with all the guys who I grew up with and was kind of around as I was tour managing. So it was really special to kind of see that from a bird's eye view. And then, but also like leading into that, falling in love with that process, even though I wasn't a part of it at the time, falling in love with the process of something being creative, the creativity side of it, into someone being like, oh, I love that song, I want to sing that song, or oh, I love that song, we're going to pitch that song to so-and-so. And it's like, they say it's like three miracles in songwriting and publishing. It's like, it's a miracle to get a song cut, it's a miracle for a song to be released, and then it's a miracle for a song to go number one. So I feel like when you're in publishing, you can see all three of those come into play from the very beginning. And I think that's what I fell in love with. I wasn't involved in it like I am now, but dude, we were on the road just listening to demos. They would, like, my buddies would send me demos and be like, hey, what do you think of this? And, you know, I was their friend, so I could give them honest opinion about it. And then we would get excited about things and, you know, get pitch ideas and be like, oh, so-and-so would sound good on that, or you should cut that and release that. So it just turned into this rhythm of, like, falling in love with demos and songwriters. And then I turned into a nerd and started, like, looking up all songwriters for like all the big songs and stuff like that, and figured out like who writes with who. I would like put together people who should write together in my head and be like, oh dang, I wish they would write a song together, or who my buddies should write with and be like, hey, you should write with this guy. So it was just a lot of fun. Like, it was very organic. Like, my love for publishing became very organic very fast. And it was just what I was around, and that led to coming into 2024. I knew I kind of wanted to take a break off the road. I didn't know if I wanted to stop completely, but I was kind of falling more and more in love with publishing. And my buddy Hutch knew that, and we were trying to figure out, you know, where I could go or who I could work for and all this stuff. And then he connected me with people over at Tape Room. And I landed there. But yeah, dude, I've loved it. Tape Room is amazing. Our crew's incredible. Our riders are awesome. And I've learned a lot.
So what do you guys look for in riders? Dude, when you're looking to sign somebody, like, are you accepting, are people sending you songs? Like, are people sending you their Schedule A's, or are you going and just like what does it take for you guys to sign somebody?
Yeah, that's a good question, dude. I haven't been involved in the signing process at all yet. But I know, like, what I'm looking for in a writer is someone who genuinely loves writing, like, and is creative in that way. I think authenticity is key, too. I think that's for everything in Nashville, is just being authentic in writing the way that you were created to write and use your creativity in that way, because that's going to bring the most value out of your songs that you're creating if you're authentic. And I see that in so many of our writers, dude. Like, I think one of the biggest ways that you can be a good publisher is having good relationships with your writers and just kind of being a friend to them. Like Bo Bailey over at Tape Room, like, I'm going to war with that dude. Like, one guy I got to pick, it's Bo Bailey. And he's just like the most authentic, real dude who writes awesome songs and is crushing right now. But the reason that he's crushing is because he's Bo Bailey, you know, and he's down to write with whoever. And then, you know, once you develop as a songwriter, you kind of figure out who you want to write with, who you write the best with, and you get to launch your creativity to a whole nother level when you fall in a rhythm with those people. And then at the same time, you get to kind of find new people that you want to write with. And, you know, you have people as big as, like, you know, the Ashley Gourleys and the Chase McGills, all the way down to, like, brand new writers in town. And, like, those people are still writing together. You know, it's not, I love that Nashville, it's not exclusive. It's so, I think the moment that Nashville will die is the moment that it loses its creativity. And if you get stuck in a box with whether it's who you write with or what you're writing, you'll lose the fire that was lit inside of you when you really first started. So I think creativity is key in terms of being creative the way you want to be creative as a writer. And it's been really cool to see that in our writers and other writers in Nashville since I've started.
What are some of the things being on the road that you learned that you kind of took into the publishing side of the business?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the biggest thing is song selection, if that makes sense. I mean, not necessarily pitching songs, because I can listen to a demo and be like, you know, so-and-so would sound good on that. Mm-hmm. Anyone can do that. But I think keeping, like I said earlier, kind of tying it to the songwriter, keeping a creative mind was, I kind of learned how to do that on the road. Because there were songs that I would hear on the road that I was like, I didn't realize that the crowd would react that way to that song. But they love it, and it's awesome, and I love that. But also, like, different crowds in different parts of the country reacting different ways to different songs, kind of hearing, you can kind of sense the creativity in the song itself when you hear that reaction from crowds. And I think that's the biggest thing, was kind of seeing the crowd, because it's, country music is all about the fans. It's all about the fans. They're what drives the machine that we're riding in as publishers and managers and artists. And learning from them and learning on the road to who, you know, who's selling the most tickets, what songs are they getting sung back to, and all these things. I subconsciously learned that on the road, and I didn't know it, but I look back now, I'm like, dude, there's so much that I use as a publisher. I mean, being organized, obviously.
I was about to say, that was probably, if I had to answer that question, it would probably be, yeah, organization.
Dude, yeah, as a TM, you can be a TM. You're also a babysitter. You're also a merch manager. You're also, you know, you're settling the show. You're keeping up with everything for everyone. And it's an awesome way to serve and be there for those people, which I loved and had so much fun. But yeah, you have to stay organized, like, on the road, or else everything will fall apart.
Because you forget to settle a show, I mean, you're not going all the way back to St. Louis.
No. And that's the thing too, is things, you plan for things on the road and you advance the show. You have a day of show schedule. You have a curfew, all these things. You have all this planned out. It never goes right.
Yeah.
Ever. It never goes as planned. And if you freak out as a tour manager, everyone's going to freak out. Mm-hmm. It's like, something goes wrong, everyone looks to you. So, like, if you're looking around, like, what do we do? Like, everyone's freaking out. So you kind of have to be the glue. But I think that I've definitely taken that into the office as a publisher and into rooms with writers and other publishers and events and stuff like that, is kind of being organized and being, like, serving people. I think that's the biggest thing for me, is you're going to learn how to serve as a tour manager. Like, you're going to learn how to serve people, which I think is what I'm called to do. But you can take that anywhere. If I was in management, I could do the same thing. Yeah. Or if I was in, you know, booking, I could do the same thing. But I think acts of service is the biggest thing I learned in terms of, you know, the people I work with. How can I help them? How can I help my writers specifically too? Is like, hey, you know, who are you writing with? How can I help you this week? Or do you want to write with anyone in the future? How can I help you get in rooms with those people? So I'd say song selection, hearing the songs that are getting sung back, organization, which is key in everything, and like serving people and figuring out how to do that because everyone's different, mm-hmm. and just being whatever that is for people.
100%. So, I mean, you wanted to get into publishing, and now you're working for or working under one of the best, if not the best, songwriter of all time in country music,
yeah.
Ashley Gourley. What's that been like for you?
It's been awesome, dude. It's been really cool. I mean, he's always was someone I looked up to in the songwriting world and has his name on a lot of songs. But, dude, he is the most down-to-earth, like, awesome dude ever. And I've gotten to know him very well and learn from him, but I think I've learned more from him about life and normal things than songwriting and publishing, even though he's taught me a ton in that area, and I learned just by working with him. But yeah, dude, he's awesome. He's the man. Love Ashley.
Yeah. I just think that's so cool because, like, not only do you get to do what you love, but you get to be around, like, the best of the best, literally the best that there is in this town. You
yeah.
get to be around it. Day
yeah,
in,
dude.
Day out. Who are some of the writers that are signed to Tape Room?
Oh, dude, we got Zach Crowell, who's also a producer, Bo Bailey, Wyatt McCubbin, Taylor Phillips, Hunter Phelps, Jordan Rowe. Dang, you're testing me. Now I got to get them all.
You don't have to name them all.
Yeah, but no, dude.
People
we
can look it up if they want.
Yeah, yeah, look it up. But we got a squad, dude. I love the writers. They're all, like, we're all just one big family, and, like, everybody writes with everybody, and everyone has their artists that they go to. Like, obviously, you know, Hunter is phenomenal, but, like, you know, Hardy's his guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, Zach Crowell does a lot of Jelly Roll stuff and, you know, production on his projects. But, dude, I love Tape Room's family and the songwriters that they have there. And it's been a lot of fun getting to know them and hanging out.
I was... today at the office, I was telling people that that you were coming on the podcast, and we got talking about Wyatt McCubbin.
Dude.
And I was on, I did a like a guest host thing with Brill for Outside the Round when his manager was on Outside the Round.
Uh-huh.
And I was unaware of all the cuts he had.
Dude.
So like today they were talking about all the cuts he had, and like going through the list, and I had no idea.
Yeah, dude, he's the man. I love Wyatt McCubbin so much because, dude, he is country as cornbread. Like, that's his type of music. If you don't know who Wyatt McCubbin is, he writes twangers. He wrote Sounds Like the Radio for Zach Top. He wrote a lot of Cody Johnson stuff. Like, and he's also an artist, too. He puts out his own music. But that dude is just the light of the world, just, like, brings light into any room that he's in. Loves his wife, loves his kid, and loves country music like nobody else. And he writes that way. And it's funny, we were talking about him the other day, and the thing about Wyatt McCubbin is whoever writes with him that day loves writing with him so much that they want to book before they leave the room with him in advance so that they
like
can
a
have
haircut.
So they can have another write with him. So his calendar fills up so fast. But like, dude, he just loves writing with people. He's down to write with anyone, and he's just the type of guy that lights up a room, and he's also country as hell, and people love that, and they want that
yeah.
in their music, specifically certain people. But yeah, dude, he's the man. Good dog.
I think the like, just I've always kind of loved the process of the song coming together, and I like, I knew about the publishing world, but now being at a label that has publishing side, I'm seeing more of like what it's about.
Yeah.
And like, dude, it's hard not to love it.
I know, like, dude. It really is. Like it goes back to creativity, like what I said earlier. It's crazy. And I was talking to Peyton Smith about this a while back, but Peyton told me, he was like, the thing I love about songwriting and everything involved in the process is, like, they literally take nothing, which is like an idea or a line or whatever it is, and they turn it into something, you know, whether that being a song, whether that being a song on the radio, number one, whatever it is. And it's the coolest thing in the world, like creativity. And like, it's a God-given talent that, like, I believe that God gives to people. And then you get to take it and use it. And like, it's one of the coolest things in the world. And there's, like you said, there's so many moving parts about it that make it so fun when you're a part of it, mm-hmm. which I guess is like kind of what you're talking about, that you get to be a part of that whole process, even if you didn't write the song. And it takes an army to do that. And I feel like country music is one big, huge community that comes together to create the things, like I said, that the fans want to hear and the people want to hear.
Seeing the names on the calendar of like, all right, these three people are writing together this time, this day. Then you hear the song that comes out of it. Then the demo of it, if it doesn't get demoed that day. And then just like seeing all of it come together, the pitching process. It's like, I mean, I can see why you love it, dude.
Yeah. That's like the coolest part too about being in a position in publishing too, is being with the songwriters. And one of my favorite things to do is we have like weekly meetings with our writers, and sometimes we'll just meet that week and just listen to the demos that they're hype about, or that they're fired up about, or someone is cutting or put on hold, and you'll just get fired up about them and listen to like 20 demos mm-hmm. in one meeting. And it's the best ever, because as a publisher, you want to support your writers. And as a publisher, you love to see your writers win. So when they do that and they do create something that's awesome, or get a song on hold, or get a song that's released or whatever, like, you just get to celebrate them and celebrate that moment, because there's like nothing truly better than that, especially from a songwriter's perspective. But yeah, dude, it's been cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, coming from the A&R side of things, the like listening meetings, like hearing every time an artist sends me a new song, like it's probably my favorite part of the job.
Yeah.
Of like favorite part of the business is hearing new songs. Like literally 30 seconds before I walked in here, one of my artists called me and he's like, dude, I just had this write over at this publishing company. He's like, it was my first time there. He's like, we just wrote a hit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he sent me the work tape and I haven't gotten to listen to it yet, but I'm like,
you're on the edge of your seat. Like, yeah. I'm get like, out of here.
It's like my favorite thing, dude.
Yeah, no, dude, that's exciting too. I've definitely had that happen where writers will call me, and or especially when I was on the road, the artist I was with would get demos back that they had written earlier that week, like on the road. And we would like blare them in the bus or the van and get hype about them. And I remember, dude, I remember nights in the wee hours of the nights sitting, driving a van with Peyton Smith and us just listening to demo after demo after demo. Some of them like new stuff. And then some of them like years ago, we were like, dude, what, like, how did you forget about this? This is a smash. And then like bringing those songs back to life and then hearing the new songs that they get back. There's truly no greater feeling than like seeing your songwriters win and seeing them get excited about those things.
I also think it's super cool, like you kind of just mentioned it, that you can bring a song back to life. For like sure. I was talking to somebody today that wrote a song 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it resurfaced. He never released it. Like it was just like they wrote it, did nothing with it.
Yeah.
And then some A-lister picks it up and is releasing it in the next couple months. And it's his first cut ever.
Dude,
and it's like a massive A-lister.
That's incredible, bro. I think of that all the time. It's like somewhere in a small town, Connor Smith, mm-hmm. he wrote that song in high school.
Yeah.
And it went out on his debut EP. And it's like stuff like that where it's like, I remember hearing that in high school. And now it's like on his debut EP. But another story of that is Chris Stapleton's You Should Probably Leave. Ashley wrote that song with them in 2011.
Oh, man.
And it came out in like, I think 2021, and then went number one in 2022. So it's like, that's 11 years, 10 years that song sat in a catalog and just sat there. And then one day someone heard it and was like, Chris should sing that song.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's unreal. It's like the new song that Ernest has out with Lainey. I could? It's like 30 years old, bro. Dean Dillon wrote that.
Yeah. Dean was in office today because he signed to us with our okay. Sony. So just like being around him, dude.
Dude. Like, yeah. And I heard Ernest play that at the ACMs at a songwriters round this past week. And he told that whole story. And he was like, I got this Dean Dillon pitch. And I was like, I'm not going to turn that down. And it ended up being 30 something years old. I could be wrong. So someone correct me if I'm not. But it's old.
I don't even know.
It's old. And it's like, that song's crushing right now. It's so good.
Yeah. So I mean, good. It's like I said, like, I mean, we could talk about this all day, like, but just the song, like everything, the entire like business starts with a song. Yep. Like without that, I mean, what are we doing?
Right. It's the backbone
yeah.
of everything.
So, I mean, it's just people that listen to the song on the radio, they don't really fully understand. It's kind of like a movie.
Yeah.
Like you go to the theater and you go watch like, I don't know, any movie, but you don't really think about everything that went into it.
Yeah. I love every it. Movie I part. Love it, dude. I love being behind the scenes and people not seeing what everyone's doing and being a part of that. Cause it does come to light in certain areas, and the industry does a really good job of acknowledging those people and acknowledging songwriters. So I love being a part of that. And like, dude, I tell some of my friends from college, like my job now, and they're like, what are you publisher in like books?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, like music. And I have to sit there and explain to them my job. And I'm still like explaining my job to my parents. And dude, my parents are like, I don't know. My dad's like frustrated. He's like, I think it's awesome what you're doing, but I don't know how it works.
That's like, so my parents were just in town this past week. And they left today, but we were at lunch today, and they've been here for a week. Like they've came to the office, they like
yeah.
have been around everything. I took them to Live Oak on Sunday night for a writer's round.
Yeah,
and still at lunch, my dad's asking me questions, like he's yeah. trying to figure it out.
Yeah, when dude, I'll get home. It's like once a week, and my dad's like, "All right, so what's a label? What's a publishing company?" Yeah. And they have management too, and it's just like, but it's the best, dude. I love bringing people into this world and telling them about it and letting them show interest in it and bringing them along with me and them just being interested in it. Because if you truly do what you love in the industry and you truly do that to the best of your ability, like you want people to know about that
100%.
And you want to do that the right way. And I want everyone to know what I'm doing, because like they might want to do it, you yeah. know,
and that's why I created this podcast.
Yeah,
it's because like you said, like being on the road, you don't really know necessarily, like you may not know what you want to do, but you're around the publishers and the agents and the managers, even the talent buyers or yeah. like the owners of the venue.
Yeah, dude.
Like you're around all these different people and you get to learn what they do, and it teaches you what you may want to do.
Yeah.
It teaches you a lot about yourself. So having this podcast and having you come on here and share your story and share your thoughts, it's like someone listening may have wanted to do something completely different.
Yeah, dude.
And they just listened for fun and now they want to be in the publishing yeah. world.
Come on with it, whoever that is.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. But so yeah, dude, like, I love it.
Just letting people share their stories and experiences to just bring them into the business. Because, I mean, like, it's a great business that we're in.
It is, dude.
It's hard to call it work.
I know. It is. And it is a business. That's the thing. Like, the music world is so unique and different. But it's like, it is a well-oiled machine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're running everywhere and doing a bunch of things. And, you know, a manager is called a manager, but they have 100 different things they're doing. A publisher is called a publisher, but they have 100 different things they're doing. Every avenue that you choose to go down has that. But, like, it is a business. And, like, there is a right way to do it. But there's no like one way to do it. And I feel like coming into the industry and being who you feel that you're created to be in this industry is your best bet.
Yeah.
It's like some people come in this industry and feel like they have to go one way or another way. It's like you can still come in this industry and not know what you want to do, go out on the road, do whatever, figure it out, get an internship, whatever it is, and you'll learn what you want to do. And I think you should do what you want to do and not feel like you have to be tied down to one area, because yep. there's so many different areas. That's my favorite thing about telling people about my job, is like, hey, I'm a publisher, but there's also so many other things that you can do if you want to do it. And I think that's what makes the industry so cool, because at the same time, you can do one of those things and learn about all the other ones. And it's like everyone works together. I noticed that when I started doing publishing, is like I was on the road as a tour manager, but then like I was booking rights with my writers, and they were writing with the artists that I was with, yeah, or the songwriters that I already knew. So like I was working with them in 2023, and now I'm like working with their publishers or their managers or whoever it is. So it's all like one big community and one big recycling bin, mm-hmm, I feel like, of people you're in and out with. And that's what makes it so fun. And it's like, we were at the ACMs this week, and it was like a big reunion, because like everyone was in one place. That's another thing too, is like, you're all in the industry and you work together, but you don't see each other a lot.
Yeah.
But like things like the ACMs or like award shows or whatever it is, like, it's like y'all never left when you see each other. Mm-hmm. And it's so fun to catch up. And even though you've been emailing every week, like, it's so fun to catch up and have those moments with each other. But that's what I love about Nashville, is it's like a big community and a big family.
Yeah.
And everyone works together, whether you're in publishing or management or label side or radio, whatever it is, you're all working together.
And like, I mean, it's the same with Key West.
Yeah. Like, I've never been, but I want
to
go.
This was my first time. And, you know, people have talked about it. Like, they've hyped it up to the point where I talked about this in my last podcast, to the point where I thought I was going to go and be like severely let down because of how much people hyped it up.
Yeah.
But it like lived up to every expectation. Yeah. I mean, like you said, people, we're in Nashville in a small community within the music business, but we don't see the people that we work with all the time. Like, we're emailing right back and forth, but we may not see them all the time. I mean, we're not actively going out.
Yeah.
But like, you go to Key West, I mean, it's like one big frat party pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, it's everybody that you talk to, everybody that you work with, all in one place, just like kicking back and having fun.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a very relaxed environment. It's like, I know award shows still work, Key West still work.
Right.
But it's like,
that's the thing, like you said, it doesn't feel like work.
Yeah.
But it's not like, I was talking to one of my people I work with about this, but they were like, coffees are great and like getting lunches with people, but like, when you're at a show and it's like 1 a.m. and y'all are all just hanging, like, you're going to do more networking, mm-hmm, and catching up and work than you would at a coffee, right, sit down one-on-one. And I felt like I met and shook more hands at the ACMs than I will in the next 2 months 100%. In Nashville, which is great. And it's like, I intentionally reach out to people and want to catch up and keep up with the people that I know and meet people I don't know yet. But like, those events like Key West and award shows, it's like everyone in the same place. It's like, take full advantage of those. Well,
and all those, all of those things like Key West and the ACMs and CMA Fest, like just, yeah, going around and being at events, or like CRS, Music Biz, yeah, Conference, just going and shaking hands and like being out at shows and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That can lead to the coffees.
Yeah.
Like, you, right, in Key West, you meet somebody, when we get back to Nashville, hit me
We're
up.
Hanging.
We'll yeah, go and get coffee. And then it's like, you're not first time meeting, and it's not a very like structured coffee, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I think, yeah, that's what's really important, is the people that you meet and being, that's what I love about the industry. Everyone is intentional, mm-hmm, when they meet you, where no matter what you're, you know, doing, wherever you're doing it. And like, right before I moved back to Nashville, Connor told me, he was like, dude, you want to shake people's hands and you want them to want you to win. And Jake Kinney told me the same thing, vice versa. He said, whenever you meet people, you want them to know that you see them as the most important person in the room. But I feel like everyone just naturally does that. Mm-hmm. Like, they're so intentional when they meet you and care about where you work and all this stuff. And, you know, it can be a business level, corporate level job when you're in office and cranking out emails and all these things, but like, everyone is just happy to be here.
Yeah, we're all doing the same dance, yeah, here.
And they're all happy to be here, and, you know, they're thankful to be here and glad to be here. And then just getting to be a part of the people, like the songwriters and the artists who are out there kicking tail and doing things that, you know, the fans love. It's just like one big rhythm of how everything works. And relationships is one of the biggest parts of that.
100%. And like, on every podcast, we talk about the networking, because, yeah, like, you have to hammer that it's like, you can come here and you can have like 6 degrees.
Yeah.
But like what matters the most is who you know and who have you built relationships with.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, those are the people that are going to hire you.
For sure.
The people that, like you said, that want you to win, that know you on a personal level, that when you shake their hand, they're like, I want this person to win.
Right.
You can sit there and, you know, swing around 6 degrees.
Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah, if you're not shaking hands, you're not doing anything. And I have to work on that and teach myself, because I'm like, I love people, and but I'm also like an introvert in a way, and I'm wired that way and work that way. But so I have to force myself. But every time I do it, I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I love meeting people.
I'm the same way.
But I get into events and like after parties and award shows or meetings or whatever it is, and like I can kind of cocoon a little bit.
Like,
and
this person doesn't want to talk to me.
Right. Or what do I have to add to this? Yeah. You know, but like forcing yourself to get out there and shake hands and meet people and go to things like Live Oak and CMA Fest or whatever it is, and just basically throw yourself into it. Like we talked about at the beginning. And you'll learn, like I'm still learning how to do all that stuff and network. And, but it's been a lot of fun, dude. It's a lot of fun.
Real quick, I want to kind of backpedal to the road life. And it wasn't like you were just starting out with some like garage band.
Yeah.
Like you weren't just decide I'm going to go out with my friends that it just created a band. Like it was Connor Smith and like,
yeah,
like that's a huge artist.
Yeah.
I mean, what was that like being out with him and Peyton Smith and Jonathan Hutcherson? I mean, those are all three like really popping artists.
Yeah, dude, it was a lot of fun. I'm super thankful for them and them having me on. So I started out with TMing for Jonathan, and he was on his first tour with Connor opening for him, and that was Connor's college tour. It was his first debut tour, which was so fun.
Was probably right after I Hit Alabama.
Yeah, it was after I Hit Alabama. It was the If I Went to College tour. So he had just put out that EP the year before, and put out I Hit Alabama. And I think How It Looks From Here came out during that tour. So he had new music coming out, but that was his first debut tour. So we were stoked. And that, like, I came back to Nashville and didn't know that he was going on that tour yet. And they hadn't had it all pieced together. Didn't even know Hutch was going to be a part of it. So then I get back and Hutch gets asked to go on that tour, and Hutch is like, dude, like, just tour manage for me. And he was like, I don't know if I can pay you as much, but like, just come out and do my merch and TM and advance all the shows. And I was like, okay. I felt comfortable doing it because Connor was, you know, headlining, and he like was one of my buddies. So I knew I would be around him and his people, and he had great people around him that I could learn from. So without hesitation, I was like, okay, let's do it. So then the first weekend in, we played like 3 shows, and Connor was like, hey, the other half of the tour, because Mackenzie Carpenter was opening the other half, like 6 out of the 12 shows as well. And he was like, whatever your commitments are to Hutch, like do those, but anytime you don't have shows with him, come out with us and just learn from my TM and my, you know, do my merch. So I did that. So I ended up staying the whole tour, even though Hutch wasn't on that whole tour. So I got the TM thing from Hutch, learning how to do that, thrown in the fire. And then I got the merch thing from Connor, thrown in the fire, learning how to do that, and learning from his people too. And also his stage manager was like one of our best friends from high school. So yeah, dude, it was like pretty big venues. I remember we went to Thirsty Cowboy in Medina,
Ohio.
Medina, I don't know how to say it. And it was like 1,100 sold out. And that was like his first sellout ever. And it was like, I remember he got up and started the show with Orange and White. And he played that song and everyone was like roaring.
Yeah.
And he was on stage and he was like looking back. He was like, oh my gosh. Like, it was a surreal moment because it was like, you know, obviously he had the Learn From It thing come out and all those out of high school. But there was a gap during COVID where like nobody did anything.
Yeah.
And then he started touring. He went on tour with Ryan Hurd, TR, all those people. But that was a moment where it was like, all these people are singing my song back, you know? And like, it was surreal and it was awesome. So it was a lot of fun. Like, you're right. It wasn't just like a garage band, you know, startup band. Connor had built a lot, and his team around him had built a lot of what they wanted to build. And I was super thankful just to be a part of it. And then the summer after that, I was on the road with Hutch. We had a lot of shows opening for people, huge acts that were so fun. Like, we were out with Dan and Shay, Little Big Town. I'm trying to think of who else. Little Big Town, Dan and Shay, Brett Young, so fun. He has an awesome crew. Dan and Shay's crew is awesome. That's another thing, is I learned a lot from their crews. Mm-hmm. Like, Dan and Shay's been touring for years, like 10 years. And like, I learned, like, their tour manager, Mike, is like one of the coolest, greatest dudes I know.
I've heard so much about him.
Dude, he is like salt of the earth, down to earth guy. I saw him at the ACMs. We were in the hotel lobby at like 1 a.m. and he like brought in a pizza and he was like, y'all want pizza? And I was like, Mike, what are you doing here? It's like 1 a.m. But he's like the most down to earth, normal dude ever. And like, just when we were opening for him, he was like, dude, whatever you need, like, I got you. Bo's the same way with Corey Kent. Like, I remember when we were opening for him and we sat on the bus and Bo just gave me like 30 minutes of advice.
Dude,
just
he did
like,
the same for us when we played with him. We played with him twice. I was only there for one of them, and him and Corey are the same way. Like, they will sit there and talk to you for 45 minutes.
Yeah, like, it was fun.
About like just giving you the best advice you'll ever hear.
Yeah, dude. And I think that's what was good, kind of circling back to the question of like being on the road with my friends, but also people who like knew what they were doing. Like, Connor knows what he's doing, and like Peyton and Hutch, they know what they're doing, and they have a brand that they want to create and build, and they know who to surround themselves with to do that. So one, that's why I was thankful to be a part of that, that they would have me as a part of that. But also the other people that they did that with, like, those people are like my best friends as well now. And I learned so much. Like, Jake Kinney, like, one of my best friends. Like, we call every day and just ask each other for advice on certain things. I'll ask him advice about publishing. Like, hey, what should I do here? Or what do you think I should do here? He'll ask me about management. Like, hey, what do you think we should do here? It's just like surrounding yourself with people that you care about and that care about you and that all have the same goal and the same love, which should be for country music and for the fans. And if you build that correctly in the right way, so much fun, dude. So much fun. So that's why last year, the year that I was on the road, like, so thankful for the guys that had me out, like Hutch and Connor and Peyton and all the people surrounding them that, you know, let me come out with them. 'Cause it was like, I learned so much and I owe so much to that time of my life from the time that I'm in now in publishing. And I wouldn't be anywhere without them. And that's the fun thing, is like, it's not like I left the road and we don't see each other anymore. Like, we're still hanging out and we're still buddies. And it's just so fun, dude. It's like you said, like, I feel like I don't have a job, but at the same time, like, when I'm working, it's like, I know it's a job and I can do it hard. It's like, I don't wake up and I'm like, oh, I have to go to work. You know, and I feel like that's what we should be driven to do, is find something that we love and combine our gifts and our passions that have both been given to us and then go run with it. You 100%. Know, I was talking to a buddy about that today and it was like, we complicate things so much as just like humans and people. And like, I believe that the Lord gives us gifts and he gives us passions and he wants us to honor him and put them together and use them for his glory. And all the people I've been surrounded with, like, from when I came back to Nashville, know how to do that and have done that, you know. And we're not perfect, but like, been surrounded by people with that goal. And that's what makes it so fun.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, and you kind of answered this maybe a little bit earlier in the podcast, but to the younger crowd that listens, that wants to be in the industry, or whether they're a songwriter that wants that's trying to get a publishing deal, or anybody listening, what's your advice to them to advance in the music business, whether behind the scenes like us or as an artist?
Yeah. First thing I would say is, like, if you know that you want to do it, don't hesitate. Get into it as early as you can. Also, just do it. Like, I feel like that's such a, like, normal answer. But, like, just do it and reach out to people. Because people want you here. Mm-hmm. Like, people want people in the industry. And I think a piece of advice I would give them is, everyone in the industry, no matter where you are, if you're an artist or a publisher or a manager, everyone has a way that they like to run things and do things and has an opinion on how it should be done. And I would say, because of that, they want to invest in younger people so that those people will be brought up in that kind of area mm-hmm. of the way they do things. So learn from different people and create your way of doing things. And I would say practically, like, go on the road, sell merch, get an internship, meet as many people as you can. If you're a songwriter, literally just don't stop writing songs, whether, you know, you're doing it by yourself or with people. One handshake is going to lead to another, without a doubt. Like, that's not an exaggeration. If you keep meeting people, you'll find yourself in the room writing with people who you know, didn't know that you would be riding with. So yeah, just do it. Like, take trips here. Like, I have people right now who I'm friends with. Like, you know Christian Hayes? Have you heard of him? He's like this Americana country folky. He's kind of his own breed, but he's awesome. And he's getting looked at by people right now, but he's from Georgia. And he just started, he hit me up on Instagram like a year ago. And he was like, hey man, like, I'm trying to come to town. Like, what should I do? It's like, I'm taking a trip up here. Like, let's hang. And he came up to Nashville and we hung out and he kind of like told me like what he wanted to do and all this kind of stuff. And he started writing with people just normal and would take trips back and forth and just start writing with people. And then, you know, that led to me like setting him up with Hutch and like writing with him. And now they write together every time he's back. And he's got like a manager now, and it just kind of has built off him just grinding and coming back and forth. And now he's moving here this summer. It's like, and he's getting looked at by a bunch of people. And, yeah, so that's a good example of just like doing it. If you know you want to do it, just do it. And if you know you want to do the behind the scenes stuff, like, just find any gig you can get and take it. Preferably if I were you, on the road. And sell merch or TM or do something you don't think you can do on the road and you'll figure it out. That's a big thing too, is you'll just figure it out. And the only way to learn is to be thrown into the fire.
And how old are you?
22.
22. Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm 24.
Yeah. So I was on the, I started on the road. I turned 21, like my first weekend on the road.
Yeah. So I can't even imagine by the time you're like 25. Where you'll be in this industry.
Who knows? I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited.
I'm excited to see it, dude. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for having
Appreciate
me.
Appreciate you. Well, thank you guys for listening to another episode of Behind the Music Biz, a Raised Rowdy podcast. We'll see you guys next Tuesday.
Peace.